Mick Mixon, voice of the Panthers, coming back for a mid-season report on a team that we now have as 8-0 that maybe you didn't see this at 4-0. Oh, there's some. Hit me again, Cubby. Sweet. Welcome into the show, Mick.
I appreciate it. Here's your little-known fact of the day. Winifred McMurray was a student of mine, my journalism class at UNC when I taught some classes there back in a former life.
Well, she would want you to say last spring.
Her career with some interest, and hopefully she's doing well. Did she ever come on your show?
She does. She's been on quite a few times. She's done some stuff with the Myrtle Beach Golf, the World Golf, whatever it is, the World Golf AM that they have down there every year. She's a big part of promoting that and then showing up and hanging out in the world's largest 19th hole.
Well, tell her Professor Mixon says to say what's up, and the Panthers are playing well. I mean, but it's interesting. We're playing. Our record is really good. Our record is better than we're really playing, if that makes any sense. My point is that the Panthers still have a lot of room for improvement. You have to feel as though, by any objective analysis, fellas, the Panthers' best football could still be ahead of us.
Well, Mick, we sat here 4 weeks ago. We had you on after the team was 4-0, and we really looked at this as we looked at Seattle and Philadelphia and Indianapolis and the Packers and thought, this is a tough stretch for them. How are they going to manage through it? And they've managed through it. And like you're saying, there's still some upside. So where do you see the most upside? Where's the growth going to be? Or where can we maybe expect to see growth?
Well, I think Seattle's really good, and that was a huge win. But I looked at, I mean, after a quarter and a half of the Eagles game, I thought, now Panthers may lose, but we're better than this club. First quarter and a half of the Colts game, I thought Panthers could lose, but we're a better team than this. First quarter, two quarters of the Packer game, I felt the same way. They haven't done anything that makes you say, oh my golly, they're going to be a handful all day. Aaron Rodgers made some plays, but most of those were when he went off script, when he was flush from the pocket. So I think the Panthers are a good football team. To your question, where can it get better? I think for right now, you kind of go across the board. The receiving core has tightened it up, but they could still catch the ball more cleanly. Funchess can flame on and become an even bigger presence out there. I think Cam Newton making decisions at about a 90% rate could still be more accurate. He was not at his most accurate against Green Bay. The O-line, you're never going to be perfect up front. I think the D-line it'll be interesting to see how they work Charles Johnson back into the mix, hopefully in a couple of weeks. Linebackers, Shaq Thompson missing some games. My point here is that you go position by position, player by player, and you can check a box or two and say they've done some great things, but you can also say it could be better.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned the receiving core, and obviously that's a point of emphasis. And you take a guy like Ted Ginn Jr., who seems to just fit with this team, and maybe not fit as easily with another, kind of like James Jones up in Green Bay. Yeah, what is it about the Panthers' culture or the way that makes it a good fit for somebody like Ted Ginn Jr.?
Everybody that works there, players, coaches, scouts, accountants, salespeople, football ops, concessions, food and beverage, landscaping. Everybody that works there is like-minded in a certain way. The organizational DNA kind of weeds out those that are egocentric, those that are malefactors, those that are self-promoters. People like that really just don't fit in that well. So over two decades of hiring and firing, Mr. Richardson has assembled a group of people upstairs and downstairs that don't really seem to care that much about who gets the credit. And I think when new players come to the Panthers, first of all, they're carefully vetted. We pass on a lot of high-profile free agents, and we pass on some draft picks that look like they might have a backstory that could be worrisome. Not that we're out there with the Vienna Boys Choir, because, you know, football is a violent game played by confident, aggressive alpha males. But we just try to be careful with it, who we bring in. And Dave Gettleman, Ron Rivera, Mr. Richardson, Danny Morrison, I mean, they've all done a terrific job in assembling a group of folks that is cohesive, unified, and all pulling in the same way.
So, I mean, you look at that as a culture. I mean, you know, and we used to say where I grew up, the fish rots from the head down, and you can go out maybe to Oakland for so many decades where their fish rotted quite regularly from the head down. And then you take the Panthers, and you're saying that this is a trickle-down effect of the way Mr. Richardson threw the GM all the way down to the landscapers. This is something that is common. I mean, I don't want to say it's the Patriot way, but is there now a Panther way?
No, you can't say that until you win at least one
okay.
championship. You can't have a way until your way has brought you to absolute victory. Other than that, until you do that, you're just sort of trying to get it all figured out. But I do think there is something to what you said. It is, I mean, just for an example, people who like, walk into our building, and it's not uncommon to see Christy or Rhonda or Eamon or anybody bend over and pick up a piece of trash in the parking lot. Now, there's people whose job it is to do that, but we all, it's our stadium. It's your stadium, Michael. Anyone who's eavesdropping on our conversation now, if you care at all about the Carolina Panthers, it's your stadium too. So if I see Riley Fields pick up a piece of trash, it makes me want to pick up two pieces on my way in.
Mm.
And then that spreads and that metastasizes and that multiplies. And the pride in your workplace, the pride in the organization you represent, the people you work with rises. And you know, that's in the locker room. It's on the second floor. It's everywhere.
And although we may actually like the underdog role and not be, you know, the team out there that everybody thinks is going to shock the world, you know, you've got the Wall Street Journal we discussed earlier in the show has the Panthers at just a 2.1% chance among the undefeated teams remaining to go the rest of the season, with New England at 13.5 and Bengals slightly better at 3.6 to go undefeated. But you look at this team and you think, okay, you know, they're 8-0. And they're underrated. Is that, I mean, are you comfortable with that? I mean, nobody, why so much doubt?
I don't know, but bring it on. It's the best thing. It's the absolute number one central nervous system stimulant. It's that intoxicating tonic that causes athletes and individuals and sports teams to want to prove people wrong, to want to do even better. So we will ride this horse. We've thrown a leg over the get no respect. They don't think we can do it. They think we're the worst undefeated team in the history of pro football. We've thrown a leg over this saddle, and we've ridden it for 8 games now. And if we could take this all the way into January, it would be fantastic.
Hey, Mick, this is Zach McGee, board operator with the show. I just get a feeling with the Panthers that they're going to drop a game to a team that they should beat pretty handily. Do you get that feeling at all? That's just what I've been feeling ever since that they've had this undefeated streak going. Tell me your thoughts about that.
That we're going to drop a game that we shouldn't?
Yes. Yeah, that's the thing that I was thinking.
Oh, young Zach.
Very young Zach, yes.
Yeah. I was a board op. I was a good board op. I worked the graveyard shift, the overnight. I made sure that weather line was updated. The ID hit right at the top of the hour. I could back time a record.
There you go.
With the best of them. And board hopping is a very important job. So congratulations, and I think you're on your way. My worry about you is you're thinking like, how old are you?
I'm 22.
Yeah, Mick, he doesn't know what a record is. He doesn't know what a record is. He just looked at me like, what's a record?
I know. You're thinking like someone who's my age. You're thinking about someone who's missed a three-footer with the club championship on the line, or somebody that's had a water pump go out on them on the way to Wilmington. You haven't experienced enough of the randomness of the universe yet to be worried that the Panthers are going to drop a game that they shouldn't drop. So I would say just be 22. Just look at it this way. Panthers, the Titans are 2-6. They're in the way. They have something that the Panthers need and want. So why not let's go out there and square this team up and just splatter them?
Yeah.
Stripe it right down the middle of the fairway.
Yeah, be the hammer, not the nail. Come on, be 22.
Hammer time, Zach.
Yeah.
Hey, I just had a question. That's just how I felt, and I want to see your thoughts about it. So I appreciate it.
Well, Red Shane Dean told Dizzy Dean once with the St. Louis Cardinals, Diz, don't think. You hurt the ball club.
Yeah, Zach, stop thinking. You're hurting the ball club. All right, so hopefully they can go out and you know, make a mosquito on the windshield of the Titans, and then probably expect a similar result against the Redskins. Then there's a little stretch that the Wall Street Journal feels is troubling for them. Cowboys, Saints, Falcons, Giants. And then they have to have the Falcons a second time in 5 weeks, 3 weeks. Well, how do you see this thing shaking out as you look at games that this team, you know, as they're building this crescendo? I love the idea that this is a team with still untapped resources and potential. Where, I mean, when you start to think about peaking, are you peaking at Levi Stadium at the Super Bowl, or are we peaking sometime before then?
No. I want to make sure, Zach, understand. I'm not making light of your comment or your feelings, Zach. I've actually have felt the same way. But the reason is because maybe it's similar to you. Maybe you just have gut instincts, or you have an ability to sort of feel that I didn't have when I was less than two dozen years old. But every NFL team is so daggum even. Every now and again you get a juggernaut, but the Patriots could lose this weekend to the Giants. Detroit's going to rise up and beat somebody. The Titans are good enough to beat the Panthers. So it's not as if I feel like you, Zach, that the Panthers are just going to play terrible and win. But the fear is that another team is going to, like Marcus Mariota, is coming off of a fantastic set of stats. Four tuggies, no picks. He wasn't sacked against the Saints. Throws for 371, QBR of 135.7. So my fear is that another team's going to say, oh, these Carolina Panthers, shoot, now what? You see this? We got something here at our own home field, and they're going to win, because it could easily happen.
So when you look at this thing shaping up, where do you look for this team to round into its final form?
NFL's not, it's not really a 16-0 sport, because as I said, Michael, how even teams are, and you run into a hot QB, a ball bounces this way instead of that way. The Chargers. Oh, there's a million examples. I won't bore you with all of them. I mean, the Chargers, I think, have two wins this year. They've had white-knuckle games. I mean, they could easily be six wins right now. Arizona last year was rolling. I mean, they were the darlings. Then they got Carson Palmer hurt, and they're not the same team. You're just one sprained ankle away from reshuffling the deck. But what I think is the second half of the season is beginning. I think the Panthers' mindset has to be, it can't be on Santa Clara. I mean, you're proud of the past. You're hopeful for the future, but you got to stay in the present. You got to go to Tennessee like you're an 0-0 football team.
Yeah, and what I want to see is us embrace as a community. This 8-0 is pretty awesome, and this is a pretty neat team to be around. And they've got a lot of guys that you can really get behind. And frankly, letting Greg Hardy go on and make his deal with his mess elsewhere paints the Panthers in a really great light right now. And I walk around town and I talk to people with so-called experts, and there is that doubt that we wish Zach didn't have, that this team is, you're just waiting for them to fall apart. Let's just enjoy this thing. Let's get some chicken wings out, watch this game, and see how it plays out. Am I too optimistic?
No, I don't think so. I got in a big argument with a great buddy of mine at work not long ago for this exact same thing, because Panther fans don't trust it. And why should you? Because we have not been consistently good. But this is the Cam Newton era. This is the Luke Kuechly, the Thomas Davis, the Ryan Khalil, the Josh Norman, the KK Short, the Coney Ealy, the Greg Olson. This is their era. It's not a prior era. But Panther fans who've been here for the long haul, it's hard to be consistently good in the NFL. And the Panthers, when we've won, it's been kind of splashy. We've been to a Super Bowl and to an NFC Championship game in 2005. But, you're nervous. Are you going to get your heart broken? Is this comely temptress going to, at the end of the bar, going to seduce you over, and you buy her a drink, and maybe you even get her out on the dance floor, but then she goes home with somebody else?
Well, I think what we've got here is a situation that we're used to now, and there's criticism about it, that Charlotte fans are fair weather fans. The Panthers have never had better weather. I mean, it is Maui right now. We're 8-0, and people are still, I don't know where this sort of hand wringing is coming from, and it's terribly disappointing for somebody who, you know, lived through decades of crappy football with the Patriots and now is enjoying the halcyon days. You know, let's enjoy what's going on with the Panthers. I mean, goodness gracious, it's worth it.
Dynamite, yeah, I love it. You got to celebrate any NFL win. It's not like college football where you pretty much know that LSU is not going to lose to Louisiana Tech
right,
or Louisiana Lafayette. So you have a college football team has a couple games a year that are 50-50 games. you pretty much know it's either 90-10 you're going to win, or it's 80-20 you're not, and then you got some 50-50 balls. NFL's so totally different. And I was telling you about this argument I got into one of my coworkers. It was about the gambler's ruin. A coin gets flipped 10 times in a row, heads every time. So what's the probability that on the 11th time you're going to get a tails? My buddy at work says, I'm going all in. The coin can't keep coming up heads. I says, Bo, that's asinine. The coin does not know what it has just done.
Right. It's still 50-50.
It's 50%. And this is Panther football. It doesn't matter to this team here. It doesn't matter what Jake DeLome or Steve Berline or Jimmy Clausen or anyone else did. It doesn't matter if John Fox used to go screen or draw on 3rd and 12. This is a new team. It's a new, even though the uniforms look the same, give this team its probability to come up the way you want it to come on these coin flips that remain.
Awesome. Hey, Mick, thanks for joining us this morning. We love having you on and love the golf analogies you throw in once in a while.
Yeah, I didn't do too much today, but every once in a while, you know, get Greeny in there, make sure he's paying attention.
Yeah, he's got to keep an eye on his short game. Well, again, thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you soon.
Appreciate it, and thanks, Zach. I'll be following your career from board ops everywhere, man. Good luck to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.